Please join me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And gentlemen, if you would hold the text for a moment. Today I'd like to do something a bit different than what is our custom, I would say, on Mother's Day. Instead of speaking directly to mothers or about mothers in our families, I would like to speak about the relationships between our children and our grandchildren, and we who are parents and grandparents. And God has a great deal to say about these relationships. And I would like to begin our discussion today in the book of Exodus. So if you would join me, and I did not give this to the gentleman to put on the projection, so we'll just read portion of the text. Exodus chapter 20. I'd like to go to the Ten Commandments as we begin our discussion of the relationships between parents, children, grandparents, grandchildren, because as I've said, the scriptures speak a great deal about these relationships. And as I said, we will start with the Ten Commandments. And I'm only going to hit the high spots here, not go into the full depth of what Moses has written here in the book of Exodus. Begins at verse 3. Moses writes, "You shall have no other gods before me." Verse 4, "You shall not make for yourselves a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or as that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth." Verse 7, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." Verse 8, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." And then if you would move to verse 12. "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Verse 13, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." And then finally, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house or anything that is in his ownership," as Moses gives it to us here. Now, please realize, and I know this may not be news to many of you, but please realize that the Ten Commandments are actually divided up into two books, or to two tablets, if you will. Commandments 1 through 4 are of one book, of one tablet, and then Commandments 5 through 10 is another book or another tablet. These first four commands spells out what it means to love the Lord our God. And that is given to us by saying that we are to have no other gods before him. We are not to make idols to worship. We are not to take his name in vain. And we are to keep the Sabbath day holy. All of these first four point to God and us loving, honoring, obeying God. Now, the last six commandments teach us, direct us, how to love our neighbors. And we begin with giving honor to our fathers and mothers. And that we are not to murder, not commit adultery, not to steal, not to bear false witness, or not to covet anything. Again, loving our neighbors by not doing these things, which would be dishonoring and offensive. And please know what we do and how we act in these latter six has a great deal to do with how we conduct ourselves in society. Therefore, the commandment to honor our parents, as we're going to speak of here today, of course, on Mother's Day, is foundational for us personally, but also in creating a civil society. It's very easy to point to our society and find the places where it is faltering, and you can direct that faltering to one of these commands that's not being followed. So we must not underestimate the importance of that fifth commandment. Because as I said, it's foundational. Honoring our parents extends so much further than just a simple relationship between a mother and a daughter, or son and mother, father. Also, please know, keeping the fifth commandment also works toward us keeping the first four, which honor God. If we are rebellious and disrespectful toward our parents, who has given us life, who has sacrificed for us, then we probably will also be rebellious and disrespectful toward the Lord, who has created us and is sustaining us. And it goes further, as I've said. Disrespect toward parents and towards God can carry over into our society and have a disrespect for all authority. Therefore, keeping the fifth commandment is not just some outmoded, quaint idea to be set aside without consequence. There is huge, huge consequence. There is huge fallout within the home, but also within our society at large, if we do not follow this fifth commandment. Now, let's turn our attention to Paul's writings in Ephesians chapter 6. Now, gentlemen, please. Here again, the inerrant, infallible word of our living God, as I give you the first four verses of Ephesians chapter 6. Paul writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Paul here makes two very simple points. As we have said, children should obey and honor. But then he also adds, as parents, grandparents as well, we are to live lives worthy of that honor. The key word here is honor. We are to honor our parents, and then we as parents are to live lives worthy of being honored. Now, this word honored in the Hebrew is defined by saying to have weight or heaviness. It is the same word often translated as glory in reference to the Lord. If we give glory to the Lord, it attaches the utmost weight and significance to that one we're speaking of, to give glory to God. And we give glory to God, we give that weightiness to who he is and what he does. It means to assign him the highest place because he's worthy of that highest honor. And then we understand the opposite of glorifying God is to treat him lightly, to shrug him off, to treat him with no respect whatsoever, because we do not acknowledge who he is, or we do not acknowledge what he's done. That's in the opposition of this idea, this word, this teaching of honor. Now, when we move over into the Greek language, this idea of weight and honor is coupled with the word value. It is coupled with the word value. Gold and silver are heavy, valuable metals. You've heard the saying that a man or a woman that is seen as valuable, he is worth his weight in gold. She is worth her weight in gold. Basically, what we're saying with that in that text or in that context is we see the heaviness, the value, the honor in a person. And we say they're worth their weight in gold, that heaviness, that honor. Now, when we apply this to parents, it means that we are to honor them and have this attitude of respect. We give our parents by honoring them, that weightiness, that glory, if you will. And we respect them, and we greatly appreciate. Let me interject here. It is hard to have a message like this because it speaks of that ideal, that model of the parent-child relationship. But I would be remiss and very short-sighted if I were to say that that is what we see always. I remember when I first got here years ago and preaching and speaking on loving the Father, loving our Father in heaven, loving our Father in heaven, and we learn to love that Father by first loving our Father here on earth. This young lady came to me after the service and she says, "I have no idea what you mean." Because that idea of love and Father did not correlate. Well, sadly, that same line of thinking could be said here. And so when we speak of loving mothers, we love our mothers and we appreciate. That might be a challenge for some. But we pray for God's grace. And we pray that in those situations, that God the Father would, through Jesus Christ and through brothers and sisters in the church, show that idea of love coming from the Father to those who may have that hard time bringing those two ideas together. Back to our message again, to honor our parents is to assign a high place of value to them. Respect, high esteem. And the motivation for doing this should be to please and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, who did set that example of loving his Father. Jesus says, "I come to do the Father's will. I love the Father loves me." That's that example. That's that example we are to follow toward our parents. And then he adds something here. Paul adds something here. Verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." So what does it mean to say obey in the Lord? To help us understand that, go to verse 5 of the same chapter. What does it mean to obey in the Lord? Well, Paul helps us by what he says about bondservants and servants in verses 5 and 6. He writes, "Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ." There's the key. "Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." So now going back to verse 1, when we say we are to obey and honor in the Lord, then we bring this teaching that it should come as we are honoring Christ. I honor my parents as I honor and give glory to the Lord. I do it with the heart of Christ in me. And what is Christ's heart? It is love, but it is sacrifice. It is acknowledging. It is giving all esteem and value and honor to the Father. So when we say obey in the Lord, honor in the Lord, then we are doing it as we would honor the Lord Jesus Christ. We do it doing the will of God from our very hearts. So how can we, let's get a little practical here. How can we honor our parents? And remember that word honor, weight, heaviness, glory, esteem, respect. So it begins when we were young, these little ones, as they are running around here. We honor our parents by submitting to their instruction, to their correction, to their discipline. I had a lot of opportunities to learn from my mom in this area of discipline. The book of Proverbs is basically the teaching of a parent toward a younger person. Proverbs chapter 1, Solomon writes, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are graceful, like a graceful garland for your head and a pendant for your neck." See here, following the instruction of our moms and following the teaching of our mothers, there's a physicalness. If I came in here wearing a garland around my head, y'all would probably notice. If I had a big old pendant hanging here, y'all would probably notice. Well, I am to listen to my father's instruction. I am to listen to my mother's instruction and teaching so that it is visible to you. I've seen some children that what is visible is not highly commendable to their instruction. Here Solomon is saying basically the same thing as the fifth commandment. Obey your parents and you will be blessed. Now, as we grow older, we honor our parents by respecting them, treating them with kindness, holding their counsel in high regard. As I've said to many of you, there's a time frame in your child's life or in your relationship with your child that you go from that correcting, disciplining, directing parent to the counseling parent. There's that transition, and there's not a perfect age. It changes for all of us. But as children, even when our parents go to that counseling phase, we are still to have respect. We are still acknowledging their kindness toward us and following their counsel. It is never, ever right to ridicule your parents. It doesn't matter what age we are. Even in our opinions, their counsel might seem out of line. When I was in my late teens, one night I came in a little late, and my dad met me as I came in. And about this time in my late teens, I was about his same size. My dad was not a big man. I was about his same size. I've been playing football, all that stuff. And in my foolish opinion, I thought he had a little too much to say about me coming in late. So I got in his face. He didn't say much. He backed up, then took the back of his hand and went, pow, across my lips. I knew then where the line was that I crossed, and I never did it again. I respected my dad greatly, a man of great courage. He was basically an invalid for the last half of his life. But the courage and the fortitude that that man showed earned the respect from one man to another. Thirdly, way we can honor our parents and our grandparents is that as your parents grow older, you honor them by caring for them and providing for their needs. Now, this is serious. Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 5, "If a widow has children or grandchildren, let them, the children, be the first to learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God." What Paul is saying here is that the older parents, as they age, widow, widower, or just older parents, the first obligation to care for those parents is not the church. It is the children. Paul goes on to write, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for members of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. I know many of you in this room right now have made and are making the transition between being cared for by the parent to now becoming the caretaker of the parent. That is right. And we can do that in many, many different ways. Now, there are certainly other ways that we can honor our parents. These are just a few biblical illustrations. But remember, honoring our parents is as though we are honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as I said, there's a second side, or there's a flip side of this honoring the parents. And it is, as parents, grandparents, we should live lives worthy of that honor. When Paul gives the command for the children to honor and obey their parents, he quickly balances it with the command for the parents not to provoke the children. I'm not going to look in that direction, but I just saw smiles go across some faces. Maybe I'll hear that story. The parents are not to provoke, are not to lead children to anger, but we are to bring them up, as Paul says here, bring them up in the discipline and that in instruction. For those of you in the King James, admonition. Admonition is a much stronger word than instruction. Admonition of the Lord. As parents, as grandparents, we are not to neglect God's commands. We are to raise children in His ways. We are to be examples of godliness in our homes. If we teach within our homes and we teach here within the walls of the church to be Christians and to follow the Christian way, but yet we go outside those doors and live a totally different life, there's a word for that. It's called hypocrites. We are to be that example for our children, grandchildren, and we are to be those that are worthy of that honor. We are to be examples of godliness. Now, that does not mean perfection, because even godly parents are still sinners, but it does mean that we, as best we can under the leading of the Spirit, to lead our children toward godliness. When we baptize right here, I ask the parents, will you raise this child up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord? Meaning that you will live a life before them that represents Christ's likeness. So when they come to answer that question, do you believe in Jesus Christ? They know what you're talking about because they've seen it in you. Now, this training up the child, it means to teach them the commands, teach them the principles of Scripture. It includes commitment to the local church, which needs to be emphasized more today. It means setting times for Bible reading, prayer, teaching the ways of God. There are many scholars who would say that the first church atmosphere that your children should become aware of is in the home. Is in the home. So, just a few things for you to ponder, both as parents and as children. And I must acknowledge that raising children today in our society, with all of its unbiblical, depraved influences, and I could go down the list of the things parents with children are facing today, it is difficult, and that might be understating it. And that's why it's so critical that we raise up our children to know who Jesus Christ is, to know what the church is, to know what a depraved society is, to know right from wrong. As I said last week in the sermon, some adults cannot understand and cannot differentiate between right and wrong. We have lived in a culture of subjective truth for so long that that picture has become so blurred for many. But we who have the truth should not have that problem. I'd like to close with a fairy tale from Grimm's Fairy Tales. There was once a very old man whose eyes had become dim, his ears dull of hearing, his knees trembled, and when he sat at the table, he could hardly hold the spoon and spill the broth on the tablecloth or let it run out his mouth. His son and his son's wife were disgusted at this, so the old grandfather was led to sit in the corner behind the stove, and they gave him his food in an earthenware bowl. And as he would look towards the table from behind the stove, his eyes would be filled with tears. Once, too, his trembling hands could not hold the bowl, and it fell to the ground and broke. The young wife came over and scolded him, but he said nothing and only sighed. Then they brought him a wooden trough out of which he was then to eat. They were once sitting again when the little grandson of 4 years old began to gather together some bits of wood from the ground. The father asked, "What are you doing there?" He says, "I am making a little trough," said the child, "for you and mother to eat out of when I am big." The man and his wife looked at each other for a while and began to cry. Then they took grandfather to the table, and there he ate for the remainder of his days. And they said nothing as he continued to spill and dribble things on the tablecloth. Children, honoring your father and mother does not know an age limit. Honoring our parents is at the same time honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's anything, Lord knows, if there's anything this world needs to see, it is this example from we who make our circles in this society. Amen. Amen.